Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at nashvillepublicradio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, a community show from Fort Townsend, Washington, featuring local panelists including Says You Hall of Famer Brian Toss. That's exactly right. 10
I love
points.
That
very
sound.
Good.
Oh, yes. I never thought I'd hear that sound.
But don't worry, just because our panelists are new doesn't mean we'll compromise the integrity of our questions.
Oh, that is really preposterous.
Boo.
I'm already hearing brain cells die.
Did you ever hear a hiss go through the audience like that? Sounds like there's reptiles out there. So join us for the show where the questions are hard and the answers can come from anywhere.
Can we ask the scorekeeper?
Yeah.
Suppose that would depend on how broke the scorekeeper is. Yeah. Says You begins after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. It's being called one of the most successful World Youth Days ever, and Pope Francis is getting credit for it. In Rio de Janeiro, people crowded the streets and chanted the Pope's name as he rode by in the Popemobile on his way to last night's vigil on the white sands of Rio's Copacabana beach. NPR sources Garcia Navarro reports that Francis will shortly celebrate a final mass before heading back to Rome this evening.
He supported the protesters in Brazil, berated his bishops for losing their flock, walked in one of the poorest slums in Rio, and donned an Indian headdress. In style as well as substance, Pope Francis has shaken up the Catholic Church in his first international outing as pontiff. Millions of people came out to see him, giving him a rock star reception wherever he went. Pope Francis hasn't shied away from controversy or politics. He's addressed difficult issues in unusually frank comments here. On Saturday night, many listening to the Pope had tears in their eyes during Francis's call for them to not be part-time Christians. He added another populist touch. Jesus is bigger than the World Cup, he said, to cheers from the crowd. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
More clashes between supporters and opponents of Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi are being reported around the country today. They come as Morsi's supporters refuse to leave their sit-in at a mosque in Cairo, despite warnings that they may be dispersed soon. There is a controversy brewing over a campaign to boycott Russian vodka as a protest over that country's recent passage of an anti-gay law. NPR's Corey Flintoff reports a prominent gay rights activist in Russia says the campaign is misguided.
One after another, gay bars in the United States have stopped serving Russian vodkas, such as the popular Stolichnaya and Russian Standard brands. The idea is to protest a Russian law that makes it a crime to discuss homosexuality in the presence of people under the age of 18. But a Russian gay rights leader, Nikolai Alexeyev, says that while the boycott may draw attention to the problem in Russia, it's unlikely to change things. Alexeyev also noted that Stolichnaya is made in Latvia and that the company has strongly supported gay rights. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Moscow.
Residents of the Miami, Florida suburb of Hialeah are trying to make sense of what happened in their community this weekend. A gunman set fire to the apartment he shared with his mother, then killed six people in and around the building before being killed by police, who rescued two hostages in the process. Hialeah Mayor Carlos Hernandez says the incident is affecting the whole community.
I'm heartbroken. It's an extremely sad day in the city of Hialeah. I feel for the victims that died, the victims that lived through this.
Police have identified the man as 42-year-old Pedro Vargas. They say he had no known criminal history. This is NPR News. In Spain, an investigating judge is expected to hear testimony today from the driver of the train that derailed at high speed last week, killing 78 people. The driver is being held on suspicion of negligent homicide. Meanwhile, authorities say forensic experts have identified the last three bodies of accident victims. Federal Reserve policymakers are considering doing less to stimulate the economy, but Steve Beckner of Market News International says the International Monetary Fund has different ideas.
Chairman Ben Bernanke has said the Fed could scale back its $85 billion monthly bond purchases, better known as quantitative easing, later this year. That's assuming the economy grows fast enough to improve the job market. But the IMF has a less optimistic forecast for economic growth than the Fed. So it says the Fed would be unwise to reduce its purchases of Treasury and mortgage-backed securities, which are designed to hold down long-term interest rates, till next year. The IMF sees the economy gaining ground, thanks to the housing recovery and higher stock prices, but doubts unemployment will come down as fast as the Fed projects. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
The White House says President Obama is not expected to name a new Federal Reserve chairman until this fall. And in any case, a senior official says the president has not made a decision on who will replace current Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke. Bernanke's term expires early next year. Among the leading candidates for his job are reportedly former Obama economic advisor Larry Summers and Janet Yellen, who is currently the Fed's vice chair. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News, from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, working to enhance public understanding of science, technology, and economics in the modern world.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Says You in Port Townsend, Washington is made possible by the Clemente Course for the Humanities, teaching the humanities at a college level to people living in economic distress. On the web at clementecourse.com. That's C-L-E-M-E-N-T-E.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. From the stage of the Chimicum Auditorium, just outside Port Townsend, Washington, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's the director of the local library, booked rock bands, raised chickens, and won numerous awards based on his knowledge of how to apply for awards. Mr. Ray Sarabrand. He's been a writer, and most recently a member of the Says You Hall of Fame. That's Mr. Brian Toss. And she's the rose between those thorns, the anchor of the team, the captain of the USS Syntax, that Says You's own Paula Lyons. Who's the captain today?
I guess I am.
Oh, you're always the captain. That's right, you're the captain.
Her Majesty.
Her Majesty.
To my left, team two, he's the key to victory, the doorway to success, on the threshold of greatness, team captain Arnold Riesman. Jeez. She's an author, a poet, and the current bronze medalist at the Cedro Woolley Women's Chainsaw Competition. That's Emily Warren. And she's been in the chorus. She has helped those in dating need and is now the co-artistic director of the Paradise Theater School. That's Miss Patty Miles. And Arnold, you are, of course?
I'll be the captain. I've never been between a chainsaw and a dating service before.
There you go.
But we'll try and come.
Correct answers are worth 10 points, so whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate, we always advise new listeners, grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. When you spend time in these parts, you understand that folks here are connected to the land. So we thought it appropriate to begin with the contribution of Mr. David Cronin of Medfield, Massachusetts, his round of earthy language. For 10 points, please answer the following questions about the culture of cultivation. Patty, what is the true meaning of cultivation?
the true meaning of cultivation, is it, I'm thinking of ground, but is it, has something to do with sowing and reaping and harvest? And
no, you're right. You're right to think of the ground. Okay, that's the place to go.
Cultivate.
As opposed to the rest of it.
Turning.
Okay. Is it turning over the ground? Does it have to do anything with...
Turning.
Turning over the ground will do just fine. That's exactly what cultivation is. It doesn't have much to do with planting or anything like that. It is to break up soil in preparation for planting. That's the true meaning of cultivation. So very good. 10 points for that. Try this one, Brian. What are you doing when you're threshing?
When I'm threshing,
yes.
When I'm threshing, usually I'm having a nightmare. And,
I understand that completely.
You know, you're separating the grain from the chaff.
Do you know how you actually do that? Why it's called threshing, for instance?
It was invented by Sir George Thresh, who invented it in 1559. No, there's a variety of ways. It does involve flailing, though. I think the same root as thrash. Yes,
yes, it does. Oh, that's exactly right. 10
I love
points.
That
very
sound.
Good.
Oh, yes. I never thought I'd hear that sound.
You're over the hump, baby.
It does. The true meaning of it, the actual dictionary definition, you're physically beating the stems and the stalk of the wheat to separate the edible part, of course, from the scaly husks. That's what you're doing. Try this one, Arnie. What might be meant by tilth? T-I-L-T-H. Tilth.
Tilth. Tidy filth.
Tidy filth.
Anybody have any ideas? Raking? Yeah. Does it have anything to do with tilling at all?
Yeah.
Or the past tense of till, or the Elizabethan tense of till. Thou shalt not tilth.
It
raking.
No, it is not. It's actually
giving 10% of your
tithing the tilth.
10% of your dirt.
You know, I'm so tempted to hit the bell for that. I can't tell you, but no.
It's good. I like that one.
Anybody over there have any thoughts about tilth?
It's manure.
It isn't actually manure. That's not a bad guess, but no, that's not it. Anyone on this side have any thoughts?
Isn't it really lovely earth? Very good stuff. Good dirt.
Well, that's it can be, but it not necessarily. Anyone in the audience?
Ryan has an idea.
What do you have?
Well, just that isn't it the art of cultivation? I mean, like, it's the larger subject in abstract.
It's the condition of the soil. The actual condition of the soil. Its applicability for planting of specific crops. How much clay, how much sand, how much nutrients does it need, fertilizer, aeration, that kind of thing. That is what you are considering when you consider tilth. So we'll give you what?
Tidy filth. That's what I said.
Tidy filth. How many points for tidy filth? You're going to give him 5 points for tidy filth? No. We're going to give him 2 points for tidy filth and be embarrassed at the very thought of it. Paula, how can you tell a pitchfork from a manure fork?
You know, I own a pitchfork. I actually, when we moved to Martha's Vineyard, I bought a pitchfork.
Excellent.
So I'm guessing it has to do with the number of tines on the fork or
it
not?
That has everything to do with the number of tines and one other thing. One slightly...
Does it have an aerator on it or something? A little filter?
One slight addition to this, and you got 10 points.
Does it have a little shovel attached to
it? The length of the tines or the length of the...
Are they short? Tiny
manure fork spills.
No?
Very, very bad.
You know what? I know what you're driving at, so I'm going to give you the 10 points.
She doesn't know what you're driving at.
I have no idea what I'm driving
at. No, you.
I love it.
Well, the pitchfork has 3 to 5 tines, and the of course, the manure fork has more, 4 to 10. But the pitchfork has slightly rounded tips, whereas the manure fork is as pointed as you'd want it to be.
Capture more of all that yummy stuff.
Yeah.
Try this one, Emily. For what might one use a winnowing fan?
Winnowing fan.
Yes.
Winnowing.
A winnowing
a winnowing fan, so you would have to be winnowing the grain.
Yes, you would.
So a winnowing fan, you would use the fan to blow the chaff away from the grain.
You know something?
Good.
I could argue, but that's what it is. Exactly what it is. To separate grain from chaff, harvesters often throw the threshed grain into the air and let the wind blow off the lighter chaff, but you can see that this would be achieved with greater ease if you had a winnowing fan.
I always thought it was just someone who liked winnowing a lot.
That's a winnowing enthusiast.
Thank you.
Yes.
Jeez. Early days,
you know,
for that,
I could
isn't
see,
it?
I could see Charlie Sheen winnowing. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate that. And finally, Ray, what are you doing when you harrow? H-A-R-R-O-W. What are you doing when you harrow a field?
When you harrow a... Well, you're afraid of it.
You are afraid of it.
You harrow.
You cut the rows into the ground with a harrow, do you not?
I think that's a plow. I think the harrow breaks those pieces up into smaller pieces.
Yes, but that's actually not the... Not that's the process that happens, but there's a reason to harrow a field. It means something slightly different.
Is that
different
when you plow under the last year's crop?
Yeah.
No, it is not, actually.
Shoot.
Is it to aerate it better?
Yeah, yes. That's also part of it. You're gaining points as you go here. But
aeration.
There's one very important element that you've left out so far that'll get you the 10 points.
Other side? Is it to prepare a field for being fallow?
Yes, it is, but there's one other element, and again, I'm sure that the audience will straighten me out if I'm wrong on this, but what the dictionary says is you are digging it up again, as you say, after initial tilling in order to level or crown it properly for drainage. Is that correct? Well, we're getting a mixed response from the audience. But that's what it says in the dictionary, in order to level or crown it properly for draining. And that's what harrowing means. What do you think? 7 points?
Yes.
Yeah, 7 points. 7 points for that. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends Tony and the Roundabouts. It's the first of the Says You bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Paula's team. There's 10 points up for grabs here. To Paula, if she can determine who's bluffing, and to you, Arnie, if she can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word visible.
Visible.
B-I-S-A-B-O-L. Visible. Gentlemen?
It must have been moon blown, way up in the blue. It must have been moon blown that led me straight to you.
There are so many ways to enjoy, Says You. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net, SaysYou.
Seemed to float right through the air.
Says You returns after this from home.
Seemed to come from everywhere.
Thank you.
That is Tony and the Roundabouts. Help me thank Tony Petrillo on guitar and vocals, Dirk Anderson on the bass, Jim Oliver on guitar, Tom Svornich on drums, John Morton on clarinet, Rex Rice on trombone, and Lee Molar on trumpet. Very good. Thanks, guys. This gives me a chance to thank our scorekeeper. Would you all put your hands together for the hard work given by Mr. Lee Bremer? Thank you, Lee, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word Bizaball. We will go first to Patty Miles.
Bizaball, a liquid application found in a beauty supply store to reduce the scalp burning from excessive bleaching.
Ooh.
Could be
painful
that.
Painful to think about. Yes. Frightening, just a little frightening. Can you repeat it again? I'm sorry.
Yes, yes. A liquid application found in a beauty supply store to reduce the scalp burning from excessive bleaching.
Ooh.
That's good.
Reduce scalp burning, boy. That's what it's all about. Or it could be something else. Arnie, what do you say?
You obviously picked this from This Ball Has Been Very, Very Good to Me.
Yes. I knew that was coming.
Apparently, it's this incredible mechanical contraption that was made to appear to be making music that simulates piano tones, or a small carousel calliope.
A small, ooh, I knew out there, a small carousel calliope is a Bizaball, could be, or it could be something else. Emily, what do you say?
I say it's a certain kind of very chewy substance. It's kind of like chewing gum. And if it originated around here, it would be like that snooze that loggers have between their lip and their teeth. But in fact, it's not from around here. In fact, it's a chewy substance that's similar to myrrh.
A chewy substance that's similar to myrrh. Yeah. You don't get much call for myrrh around these parts, but, you know, you can understand that.
Good old double bubble myrrh.
Yeah. It is either a chewy substance similar to myrrh, a small carousel calliope, or that acid, oh, my goodness, to reduce the scalp burning. Oof.
You made him say it again.
Such a painful image. It's one of those three, and the choice, Paula, is yours.
That myrrh thing's really cute. None of us has a clue what the heck it is. So we wouldn't know a chewy substance that was like myrrh if it hit us. Well, I don't know.
Is this like myrrh-flavored chewing gum? Is that
is it myrrh like some kind of a incense or some kind of a stinky stuff that the three wise men
Well, that's all we know, let's be honest.
Frankincense, myrrh.
That's all, and we don't know what any of them really is,
no,
do we?
I mean, I don't, myself. I don't know what frankincense is.
I mean, so do any of these definitions resonate with you guys?
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
What's your vote?
Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I like the myrrh.
You like the myrrh?
Yeah.
You just like it or you think it might be
I'll
it?
I'll have the myrrh.
You'll have the myrrh.
Yeah. And not the frankincense. I'll have the devious incense. Mm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, Ray, what do you think?
Well, the first one, the scalp application.
I like that, too.
That had resonance for me. I tried to think of some words that sounded like Bizaball, and the only one I could think was Bismol, Pepto-Bismol, which also is something that overcomes something that's acidic, I suppose, in your Pepto.
Now, did it ever occur to you, though, that that's exactly what she
that's
was
what
thinking
she was thinking
when she
that,
made
the,
that
well,
up?
That, and so that, I was thinking she was... I was thinking that she was kind of thinking the same thing I was thinking.
I don't know.
So I'm not sure. And then the calliope part seemed just odd enough to get my vote. To get my vote, yes.
Okay, I'm the captain, right?
You're the captain.
That's what I hear, yeah.
All right, I'm going with the calliope.
Oh. Much to the chagrin of Ryan Toss, the team captain has gone with the calliope, the small carousel calliope, which was your definition, Arnie. Is that, in fact, what Bizzaball is?
Calm down, Brian. Of course not.
That was a bluff. Ooh.
Bluff.
Was
well,
a
then
bluff.
I'm...
All right, audience, what do you think? How many say the scalp application? How many say the myrrh? Well, Emily, if it's the myrrh, you didn't fool anybody. Is it in fact the myrrh?
It is in fact the myrrh.
That's Woo! What it is.
Gets to say I told you
it
so.
It is the myrrh. Can you read the definition on the card?
Bizzabelle, a gum-like substance similar to myrrh.
That's what you got.
There you go.
10 points for Arnie's team.
All right.
Once again, a jaw-dropper.
Let's go on to round three. From the rain shadow of the Olympic Mountains, we bring you the Olympic Games. From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the Olympic sport I have in mind. To give you an example, to give Miss Merman a look for the role is to try Ethel in. Triathlon.
Oh, that is really preposterous.
Boo.
I'm already hearing brain cells die.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever hear a hiss go through the audience like that? Sounds like there's reptiles out there. So we're looking for Olympic sports here from these clues. To give Miss Merman a look for the role is to triathlon. Mm-hmm. Triathlon. Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
Try this one, Patty.
Okay.
Just sliding by in math.
Just sliding by in math.
What Olympic sport might be brought sliding to mind by just sliding math. By in math?
Oh, my
luge.
Gosh.
Luge?
Luge?
No. Luge.
All right, you're trying to get, he's trying to do a pun out of this.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different ways of looking at
just
this one.
Sliding by in math.
Oh, they may not get this. Just sliding by in math. Oh, I just heard it in the audience. Ooh, it's quiet over there. Any thoughts?
Discus.
Why discus?
Why not?
Nothing else makes sense.
It sounds good.
Sounds good, yeah.
Sounds good. Discus does sound good, but... No, I don't think they're going to... No, don't think they got any help from the other side.
I'm going to take a wild guess here. Ray.
Decathlon.
No, it's not that. Any help from the audience? That's exactly it.
What?
Figure skating.
Oh! Figure skating. Wow.
Oh, good for you.
Just sliding by in math is, of course, figure skating.
Figure skating.
Oh, boy.
They're
going to get worse and worse and worse as time goes on. All right, Brian, try this one. Olympic sport brought to mind by the clue, a very large and lazy baby sheep.
Large and lazy
baby
sheep.
Baby sheep, yep.
What's a baby?
Very large
okay.
and lazy baby
lamb.
Sheep.
So baby sheep, is it a lamb?
That's it.
Okay.
It is a lamb, yeah.
Fat.
That we get.
That you got. That
that
one
you
got.
Get.
Okay, I should have given you that one first, I suppose.
Lamb.
We're making a
very large,
slam,
lazy baby sheep. The other side, you do
slam.
Have it. Okay.
Calf lamb.
Decaf yeah. Lamb. Large, a very large.
Yep.
Mega lamb.
Mega lamb. That's
like Lego lamb. No.
A mega lamb Lego.
You've never actually witnessed this process before, have you?
It's so messy.
Torpid and...
I think
are we giving up?
I think that they're giving up. They got the lamb. They'll get a couple of points for that. But we got to go to the other side.
Slow lamb.
Slalom.
It's the giant slalom.
Giant
yes.
slalom.
The giant slow lamb, yes. The giant slow lamb.
Is this a question, Richard? Are these all Winter Olympic games?
Nope, not all of them.
Shoot. Okay.
Okay. Some of them are,
we're scraping
some of them
are. Toboggan of the barrel at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give them 3 points for that, just for the struggle, for getting
just
lamb.
For the struggle.
That was the third of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you only get points if you're if it's the
yes, that's game. True. All right, try this one, Arnie. Olympic sport brought to mind by the clue, when you are leaping over Copernicus, Chopin, and Madame Curie. Olympic sport brought to mind when you are leaping over Copernicus, Chopin, and Madame Curie. Now, does this side have it this time?
Oh, sure. Got it.
The other side always gets
it. Is this pole vaulting?
It's pole vaulting, yes. It is pole vaulting.
They're all pole.
I have to say, is this your contribution, Leela? This is Leela Helton's contribution, ladies and gentlemen.
The old pole.
Well, we're no longer on in Krakow and Warsaw.
I was wondering who sent this in. It's Leela Hilton's contribution to the, ladies and gentlemen.
The
front row,
vaulter.
Seat number 4, right there.
Pole vaulting.
All right, try this one, Paula.
Okay.
Digital response to a scorching smooch.
Digital response.
Digital response to a scorching
digital
smooch.
Digital response. Are we talking digital or are we talking, X's and O's, X's and digitals.
No,
digital.
Well, you were right the first
this
time.
This kind of digital. Finger kiss. No, what are you talking about?
Yes, the Olympic
sport. Finger kissing, yes.
A response to a scorching smooch.
Greco-Roman finger kissing.
My favorite event.
If it isn't a sport, Olympic sport, it should be.
That's right.
Digital response.
Does the other side have any thoughts?
Oh, nothing related to this.
Nothing related to this.
Digital response.
I don't know if they're going to get it.
No.
Hand.
All right. Audience, any thoughts? Curling is exactly right. A scorching smooch will make your toes curl.
Oh.
It's curling.
Says who?
That's a terrible.
The lady up there got it.
Curling?
Good grief. Curling.
I think they get 0 for that, yes. I don't think they get any points for that. Try this one, Emily. A stag dance party in northern Spain.
Stag dance party in northern Spain. Spain.
Northern Spain's like what? Galicia?
Oh. Does the band know? Don't say it out loud. Does the band know? The band knows. Does the other side know?
Not a clue.
My head is filled with visions of dancing deer.
It's not a deer.
It is not. I'm going to go to the band for this one. Do you know what it is? Men's basketball. Basque region of Spain.
Basket weaving.
Men's.
We got Basque.
Basketball.
Hey. We got Basque, too, but we couldn't put it together.
A stag dance party is a men's basketball. Yeah, give them 3 points to match the other one. And finally, try this one, Ray. Olympic sport brought to mind by Reconcile Jim's Whiskey.
Reconcile
Jim's Whiskey.
Whiskey.
Beam.
Balance beam.
Balance beam is exactly right. 10
that
points.
That was too easy.
And that brings to a close Leela Hilton's round of Olympic memories. Thank you very much, Leela. Cryptic Olympics. Good job. Good job. Let's go on to round 4. which is Paula's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Arnie, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word smell fungus.
Smell fungus.
S-M-E-L-L. F-U-N-G-U-S.
You are
smell
kidding.
Fungus.
Smell fungus.
Gentlemen.
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovers weeping on a faraway shore. Out on the briny with a moon big and shiny, melt in your heart of stone. I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone.
Support for Says You in Port Townsend, Washington comes from the Port Townsend Film Institute, informing, educating, and inspiring with independent cinema, and producing the Port Townsend Film Festival this September. Information on the web at ptfilmfest.com. And the Puget Sound Express, educational programs, whale watching, things to know, on the web at pugetsoundexpress.com. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back. Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available.
Out on the briny with a moon big and shiny, melt in your heart of stone. I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. All to myself.
That is Tony and the Roundabouts. Thank you very much, guys. We've had a few moments with the word smell fungus. We will go first to Mr. Brian Toss.
Well, first of all, of course, all funguses smell the same, more or less.
Thank you. More or less.
But I've actually, this is a type of person, I've traveled with this kind of person. It reminds me of a saying from Yogi Berra. Someone asked him about a restaurant he'd been to. And he complained, yes, the food was awful, and the portions were small.
Yes.
Right? So a smell fungus is a person, a traveler, tourist person, who complains about everything, finds something to complain about.
A complaint.
Smell fungus is.
Travel tourist who complains about everything is a smell fungus. Yes, that's a Very apt term, I think. Complain about everything, you're just a smell fungus. Okay. Could be, or it could be something else. Paula?
It is a person. But it's a person with, you know, we've all heard about those people who are chemically sensitive. Mm. But this is a person who has an inordinate number of allergies, allergic reactions, rather, to the natural world.
Someone allergic to just about everything in the natural world is a smell fungus. Could be. Could really be. Or it could be something else. Ray, what's your take?
Actually, a smell fungus is a veterinary term. It is, it's a funny word, but it actually is a type of fungus. And it is a fungus that is found between the claws of small domestic animals, such as ferrets and hamsters.
Hamster toe cheese is what we're talking about
here. Hamster toe cheese.
You can dress it up any way you want.
That was very succinct, yes.
Call that claw tobacco.
Yeah. Well, it could be the fungus that grows between the toes of hamsters. It could be someone who's allergic to a lot of stuff in the natural world. Or it could be a traveling tourist who just won't shut up. It's one of those three, and the choice, Arnold, belongs to your team.
Yes. Okay, chime in. What do you
I'm voting for the allergy to the natural world.
Really?
Yes.
And
because
it
suggests that you have continuous fungus in your nose.
Yes,
like it's chronic.
Continuous.
Huh. It is a bit chronic.
Okay. Emily? Hold that thought.
I don't think there are hamster veterinarians. And it just is too funny of a word to be scientific or medical. It's just something you would call somebody after traveling or camping, you know.
So you're going with Brian?
No. Oh. I'm going with somebody who complains about everything.
Yeah, it's
everything.
Brian's one.
Oh, Brian. Hi,
you
Brian.
You say that I complain about
I'm thinking along Emily's lines, actually. So you can beat me up
afterwards. I'm okay with that.
All right, because it sounds to me that a smell fungus is probably a person who just smells fungus everywhere they go. You know, and not necessarily allergic to it, but just wants to complain. And by virtue of the fact of doing the show for 15 years and you start having time to say Yogi Berra-isms, I thought you were going to go about the restaurant that Yogi Berra said nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
It's too crowded, yeah.
I'm going to go with the complainer. I think we're going to go with the complainer. And if I'm wrong, Patty can beat me over the head.
If he's wrong, Patty can take a poke at him, Brian, but he thinks that smell fungus is the traveler who complains about everything. Is that, in fact, what a smell fungus is?
Smell fungus? A traveler who complains about
everything. That's what it is. 10 points. All right, I'll stand.
Many seasons ago, special guest Murray Horowitz joined our regulars for a round of cinematic mating, matching the stars of one movie with another in a third film. It left an indelible impression on the then young Troy Butler of Chicago, Illinois. Troy requested that it be a spotlight round, so here it is from season 4, the challenge we called For Better or Worse. Please tell me the movie in which the following characters got together. The catch? I'm going to describe each character in terms of other roles that the actors and actresses play. An example, yeah. Rhett meets a woman spreading a 7-year itch.
No, Arthur Miller movie.
The Misfits. Right. Misfits. Correct, yeah. Because Rhett would be Rhett Butler, yeah. Would be, what is that guy?
Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, okay. Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe from the 7-year itch got together in the Misfits.
Okay. Help me, team.
Carolyn, mm-hmm. McMurphy shadows Peggy Sue.
Help me, team.
All right, Peggy Sue is
Jack Nicholson and Kathleen Turner.
Jack Nicholson and Kathleen Turner.
What?
You've got the stars. You're halfway there.
Yeah, but
Jack Nicholson.
Ooh, I think they forget this movie, which was
Must have been a forgettable movie.
Well, not really.
Not really?
Give them 7 points because they got the two stars. Anyone remember the movie?
Pritzi's Honor.
She was in
Pritzi's Honor. Is the
I only
name
remember
of that
Angelica movie. Houston. Yeah,
where they got together.
Holy Moses.
Right. Tony.
Yes.
Violet Venable's niece.
Okay.
Degrades the guy with the robe.
So Katharine Hepburn meets the robe.
Let me stop you there. Violet Venable's niece.
Niece.
Oh, that was
degrades the guy with the robe.
Elizabeth Taylor. So was could it have been?
The guy with the
robe. Oh, Cleopatra.
Yeah, Cleopatra. I will give you some credit for, yes, because they both did star in that movie. Who are the stars involved?
You know, what's
Liz
his name?
Liz Taylor and
the
Richard
guy, Richard Burton.
And Richard Burton. Richard Those Burton. Are the two stars. The
but
movie,
then there's that one on the beach,
okay, Who's
too.
Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
That's the one. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Give not 10 points. Give them 9 points for that because we did do a little bit of coaxing.
Of
Arnie, Sister Sarah gets pulverized.
Paul versus Jack Lemmon, right?
The Apartment.
Right. The Apartment is exactly right. Very good. Why? Because
Two Mules for Sister Sarah. Is that what you're going for? Shirley MacLaine and Ensign Pulver is Jack Lemmon and Mr. Roberts.
That's exactly right. Shirley MacLaine and Jack Lemmon and The Apartment. And you also would have gotten credit for Irma LaDuce, but The Apartment was where we wanted to go. Try this one, Francine. Morning Glory comes up to see him.
Give me a help me with the Morning Glory part.
Morning Glory, I can't help you with either part, or the place we're going to.
Okay, comes up to see him. Mae West?
No, not Mae West. Actually, comes up to see him.
Come up to who was it? Come up to see me.
You mean Cary Grant?
Mae West.
Cary Grant.
Morning Glory comes up to see
that's
him.
The one. Oh, that.
Gunga Din.
It happened one night.
No. We'll go to the other side.
We think it's Holiday with Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant.
Oh, not Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, Katharine Hepburn?
Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant either in Holiday
the Philadelphia
or the
story.
Philadelphia Story. Yes, either movie would have done it.
I was going to Philadelphia with the wrong person.
Yes, you were.
story of my life. Yeah. Oh, well.
Murray, try this. All Hetty, Clyde finds his darling.
All Hetty?
Yes, H-E-A-D-Y. All Hetty, Clyde finds his darling.
Well, it's Bonnie.
Darling is Julie Christie.
Is he going back to Darling and Julie Christie?
Warren Beatty.
Shampoo
is exactly right. 10 points. Very good. Because you have Warren Beatty, Clyde, and in Bonnie and Clyde, and Darling was, of course, Julie Christie, and the two of them got All Hetty in Shampoo. And finally, Barry... She goes lightly with Blofeld's Bane.
What?
She goes lightly, so that's Audrey Hepburn.
Right. Polly go lightly.
With Blofeld's Bane.
Oh, that's Blofeld's Bane, Bond. Blofeld's Bane, is Audrey Hepburn, and Sean Connery.
You've got it.
Two for the Road.
Oh, no, that was...
I know.
They were... Oh, the Countess? Was that
you're in
some
the right,
spy
you're,
thing?
No, not that.
No,
it's
no. Countess.
Very classic story.
The blonde. The
you've got 7 points already. Any help from the other side?
Audrey Hepburn and Sean Connery, huh?
Yeah, anyone know in the audience?
Robin Hood.
Robin and Marion.
Oh,
very good.
Great movie.
That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's close tonight. Gary Friedman of Bothell, Washington, sends us a round titled, A Text is Worth 1,000 Words. Oh, you know where we're going.
You all
now.
Know this already?
From the list of chat acronyms and text message shorthand on the website, please decipher what the following mean. For example, if I were to say LOL, you would all know that means
laugh out loud.
Okay? And that's it for me. Come on.
All right.
Me too.
Lots of love.
Let's try this and see how it works.
This will be Lee's category.
Patty, BRB.
BRB. Oh,
not too loud.
BRB.
What is it? Wait a minute. When you huddle together like that, not good radio. Not good.
Right.
Not good radio.
Right.
Oh, okay. 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 So R is R, A R E. We know that much. B,
B R. Boys are back.
Boys are back.
Babe, are you back?
The boys are back. Well, you certainly got the back right. That's BRB.
Back are
Babes are back. No. I don't think they're going to get it. Does the other side have any thoughts?
Well, we were thinking something different. We thought it just might mean be right back.
Be right back is exactly
Be right back. Be right back.
Oh, be right back.
Right.
Exactly what it means.
I was going to tell you, Arnie, R.
Yeah.
All right, give them 3 points for that. Boy, I'd be... No, no, no.
The score doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered for 15 years.
No points. No points for that. No, you got to get these you got to get. All right? The only way I'll do it is if it's, you know, if they get halfway there and they miss up, you know, but not for that. Brian, try this one. What might be meant by the text F2F?
F2F.
F, the number 2F.
Isn't this what it's supposed to be?
F to F. Yes. Wow, I have no clue. Do you?
Failure to something that starts with F.
Failure to flaunt.
Failure to find.
That's not what I was thinking of.
Think it has anything to do with fun? Does it have anything to do with fun?
Face to face?
Face to face.
Nobody.
That's exactly right. 10 points.
Good job.
All right, Arnold, try this one.
Face to face.
What might be meant by the text shorthand BWTM? Yeah, thank you. No, I appreciate it.
BWTM,
Arnold. Ooh. Mm.
If these were personal ads, it would be boy with tricep.
Oh, yeah, right. Boy with terminal malaise.
I'm actually going to give him points for that. Do you believe that? Now, that's what you get points for. Boy with terminal malaise. Yeah. I don't think they're going to get it, but I'm going to give you 3 points for boy with terminal malaise. And I do it without shame. I go to the other side. Does the other side know?
Would the WT stand for with the?
No, it does not. Anybody in the audience? No, it's actually but wait.
What?
There's more.
But wait, there's more.
Wait, there's more.
Oh, boy. That's wonderful. Can I steal
that's
it?
Complete...
Yes, BWTM,
but
wait.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. All right, try this one, Paula. You're going to absolutely love this one, Paula.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
S-L-A-P.
S-L-A-P.
Oh, so
slap.
Long.
S-L-A-P.
Is it so long?
No, it is not.
Not so long. Okay, S-L-A-P.
I guarantee you,
so
you will use this forever.
Sit. Any help from
me? Yeah, God.
You'll all
so
use
limericks
this well.
Are precise.
S-L-A-P.
So long.
Anyone in the band? No,
it's
just out of curiosity.
So long.
No?
It's not so long. Seems like.
I think somebody in the audience knows. I'm pretty sure of that. I don't think they're going to get it, so I'm going to go to the audience.
Oh, wait, don't we get it?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh, wow.
No, nothing like
that. That's what it is. All right.
When is the question's asked?
Try this one, Emily.
Okay.
Because don't worry, Ray is never going to get the last one. He's never going to get the last one. I guarantee it. F-O-M-C-L.
F-O-M-C-L.
It's a complete sentence.
F-O-M-C-L.
Right.
That's a text message.
From our mouths come lies.
Yes, but you've used your humor allotment for this question.
Gee Louise.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord. Wait a minute.
Foment.
Foment. Oh, that's way too intelligent.
Foment Revolution.
The F, I'll give you a clue, stands for fell.
Fell?
Oh.
Fell off my chair.
Chair laughing.
Yeah. Well, I guess everybody up there got it now, yes.
Fell off my chair laughing.
That's what it is.
Oh,
fell off my chair laughing. You've used your well, give them two more points, even it out. And we'll go to you. There is no way you can get this, but I'm going to give you a clue, Ray. I'll give you two clues.
Clues. Mike, that's going to help.
What might be meant by the text message NWJ?
NWJ?
N standing for no.
Oh.
N-W-J. Oh, sure.
NWJ.
Yes?
No way. No way, Jose.
No way, Jose is exactly right.
No way, Jose.
10 points for that. Is that right? Is that score right? That score is correct?
66.
What do you know, ladies and gentlemen? Come all the way out to Port Townsend, Washington, and what do you get? A 60-60 tie. Congratulations to both teams. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Leela Hilton, and especially all the folks at the Clemente course here in Port Townsend. Yes, sir. We are thrilled to be able to come out and meet you folks and have a great time out here. Sher and Salkind are the writers. Chris Martin captures the moment, and Zach Moore is the associate producer and webmaster. Our closing thought, everybody up here jokes about the rain, and in our experience, we haven't had rain for a minute. And that minute was 7:42 a.m. yesterday. Thanks from all our waterlogged entourage, and we'll see you all next week.
Sej Yee in Port Townsend, Washington is made possible by the Clemente Course for the Humanities, teaching the humanities at a college level to people living in economic distress. On the web at clementecourse.com. That's C-L-E-M-E-N-T-E.
Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Sej Yee, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.